This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now, there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Cuomo. We'll hit Cuomo just a little bit. You know I'm going to brag about myself about this. We're reopening America. Why you should actually be angry and not happy. And finally, Jill Biden. Why is she there? All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. One of my favorite things about myself is that I'm always right. That's why we named the show I'm Right. And remember what I came on yesterday? Remember what I said to you yesterday about Cuomo? There was 8,000 articles. You can't open a news site right now without an article blasting Cuomo. Of course, it's not about the thousands of seniors he's murdered. It's about the three women who've come forward with harassment claims. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry has an article out now about Cuomo. Every Democrat in New York, every Republican in New York, oh, I've always hated him, always this. And I came on here as the lone voice of sanity, and I said, Andrew Cuomo's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. Don't let all these news stories fool you. Andrew Cuomo runs New York. The Cuomo family runs New York. People like that don't go down. You and I go down for stuff like that. People like that don't go down. Andrew Cuomo had a little press conference today. Here was a little bit of it.
First, I fully support a woman's right to come forward. And I think it should be encouraged in every way. I now understand that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it. I feel awful about it, and frankly, I am embarrassed. You can go find hundreds of pictures of me kissing people, men, women. It is my usual and customary way of greeting. Politicians will always play politics, right? That's the nature of the beast. I don't think today is a day for politics. I wasn't elected by politicians. I was elected by the people of the state of New York. I'm not going to resign.
You don't mind if I just sit here and smile to myself for a moment, right? Who told you? Who told you? Every time. When everybody... Look, this is no different than the coronavirus stuff, which we'll get to in just a minute. But who told you? In the very beginning, not minute two, not day two, not year two, right away, who came on and said, he'll be fine? And listen, you heard all the same political speak. I support a woman's right to come forward. Oh, well, that's so nice of you. You support a woman being able to accuse you of something? Wow, that's very... What a guy. Politicians will play politics, says the career politician. Of course. And, of course, I won't resign. And all right, I'm done patting myself on the back. I know that's obnoxious. If you want to understand why things work out this way every time, especially for Democrats, I'm going to give you a little example. It's kind of a ham-fisted example, but I make things up on the fly. I don't write anything down for this show, so here's how it goes. I want you to picture your kids, your son. You have a son on a Little League baseball team, T-ball team. This will be a reality for you, whatever, Little League sports team of some kind. And you go through the season as one of the parents on that team, and you know the deal, right? Drop them off at practice. Hey, Bob. Hey, Sarah, how you doing? Hey, how's the kids? You're loosely acquainted with the other parents with the pickup and drop off at practice time. And then during the games, you're sitting with the other parents. You're not necessarily best friends. You may get to know one or two really well, but you're all in this together. Oh, good, Aunt Billy, very proud of you. Oh, no, stop picking your nose. You know what I'm talking about. Ah, ha, ha, you're taking the pictures, you're cheering, you're sad, you're happy. You go through a whole season like that. I want you to think about powerful politicians or just wired in people in the bureaucracy. I want you to think about them all like the adults of that T-ball team. That's how it works. That's why nobody ever goes down. You like to think that it's, well, he's gonna find $50,000, find a way to wire that to the judge at his secret bank account in the Caymans, and that's why Cuomo won't ever go down. And obviously that stuff happens, I'm not naive, but that's not really how it happens. How it happens is all these people, even if they're not friends, they all know each other. They've all run in the same circles. Everybody knows a guy who knows a guy. Andrew Cuomo won't go down because he has a million local politicians, businessmen, powerful businessmen who either owe him favors or he has dirt on them. Always very, very important. Remember, that's not stuff that happens in the movies. I personally know several stories I can't ever share with you on the show of this guy got a DUI, let's cover it up for him. But then again, we own this guy now forever. Otherwise, we'll release information about the DUI, that kind of thing. That's how it works. Is Cuomo going to get a favorable judge that owes Cuomo? Maybe not, but maybe somebody Cuomo plays tennis with knows that judge really well. Oh, yeah, we went to Harvard Law together. I know Judge so-and-so. I'll tell you what, I'll talk to him for you. And nobody wants to look like the bad guy at the Little League game who punched the other dad who's on the same team, right? Nobody wants to do that. That's really why they don't go down. No one wants to look like they're attacking another Little League parent. Oh, come on. I realize you guys aren't friends, but we're all in this together, right? We're all Democrats. We're all pulling the cart the same way. That's why they don't go down. That's why Hillary Clinton never went down. That's why powerful Democrats never go down. It's just life. It sucks. It's ugly. I'm not cheering for it. I'm just telling you how it is. Now, I was not planning on opening with this today. I was planning on opening with something I'm upset about. It was all over the news yesterday. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, a very aspirational politician, he has been absolutely dreadful, dreadful during this coronavirus thing with the lockdowns, with the mandates. Can't tell him from a Democrat most of the time. Well, he gets up yesterday, makes this big announcement.
All businesses of any type are allowed to open 100%. That includes any type of entity in Texas. Also, I am ending the statewide mask mandate.
Wow. I'm so grateful. I mean, I'm a resident of Texas. I'm so grateful my governor is giving me permission to take off the mask. I wonder what else I have permission for. I wish we had more of the press conference. Do I have a curfew? Am I allowed to have dessert with my dinner tonight? I just want to know. I mean, look, I want to know. Clearly, I'm a subject. Clearly, I'm a subject. I want to know the things I'm allowed to have permission. I'm allowed to do. I just want to know what my king is bequeathing on me. My word, this is huge information. And I'm mad. And frankly, I'm not mad at Abbott. I've already screamed about Abbott a million times over. He knows exactly how I feel about it. I'm mad at how many people I saw out there that were thrilled about this. Oh, I get it. You're happy that you now have some freedom that you didn't have yesterday, but he never had the authority to take it away in the first place. None of these governors do. Where did this American mentality come from? This is not who we're supposed to be. Oh, gee, thanks, Mr. Governor. Thanks for lifting the mandate. You don't have the authority to issue me mandates, and you certainly don't have the authority to do so for a year. Who do these people think they are? And who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? Who are we as citizens of this country? You don't have to applaud some jerk politician because he finally gave you permission. He finally gave you some freedoms back he never should have taken from you ever. Stop praising these people. And it goes right to my point. It goes right to my point. What do I always tell you about Republicans? Always. You can count on Republicans to arrive at the correct position at the precise moment it doesn't do any good anymore. Oh, good job, Greg. Very cool. Very happy. You know what we have right here? I have some numbers about adult anxiety and depression. Average share of adults reporting symptoms of anxiety disorder and or depression disorder. This is from January to June 2019 versus January 2021. 11%. Now 41.1%. Oh, I'm not even going into economics tonight. I've already screamed about that enough on this show. Let's talk about, well, you know what? Maybe you're setting aside the adults. Maybe you're doing that, well, they should toughen up thing. Let's look at the kids. How are the kids doing? This is April 19 versus April 2020. Intentional self-harm insurance claims. This is for kids 13 to 18. Self-harm insurance claims up 99.83%. Medical help for drug overdose insurance claims up 119%. Generalized anxiety disorder insurance claims up 93.6%. And you expect me to come on the air on a national show and be all, oh, Greg, I love you. Look, this is how it's done. It's a year too late. Where was this courage? Where was this conviction on day one? And don't tell me we didn't know. Don't tell me nobody knew. You know what you did know? You may not have known everything you needed to know about coronavirus, but you know what you did know? You did know that you were an American citizen and you are made to be free, and where the government doesn't have the authority to do these things to you. If you want to live in a country where government has that authority, there are tons of them all over the world. In the United States of America, you are free. Or at least you're supposed to be, or at least we used to want to be. Don't tell me where you are on day 365 of the pandemic and expect me to applaud you. Where were you early? Where were you when it mattered? It's too late now. I mean, like I said, on top of anxiety and depression with kids and adults, small businesses slaughtered. Alcohol abuse through the roof, spousal abuse through the roof, child abuse through the roof. The far-reaching consequences of these idiotic, insane, ineffective lockdowns will not be known fully for decades. And you want me to come on TV tonight and say, oh, Greg, I love you. Screw that. Heavy D was right early on.
The numbers are very clear. If you look at the pediatric cases up to 17, California per capita is higher than Florida, and they've had schools closed. And I think the reason is when kids do get infected, it's usually not in school, it's usually in the community. So having them do virtual doesn't solve that problem at all. So the evidence is very clear at this point, Mark. This is just purely being subservient to a special interest. And Biden has been one of the worst in it, because when he says, my goal is to get 50% of the schools in person in 100 days, we've already had that. His goal should have been yesterday to get everybody back in school, but he can't do that because he doesn't want to upset the teachers union. It's a pathetic failure of leadership to not stand up for these kids and for these families.
That's a governor right there. Don't expect me to sit and applaud politicians for giving back freedom they should have never taken and didn't have the right to take. Shame on them, and shame on us for complying. And I'll tell you something else. You know there's going to be another thing, right? Either it's another disease, it's going to be something. There's going to be another thing that comes out, and everybody's going to be hammering that panic button. Panic, panic, panic. The media is going to tell you to panic. The politician's going to tell you to panic. We're all going to die. Everyone's going to be doing their Chicken Little routine. And when they do it, I want you to understand something. They're going to do it. They're going to try to crush your freedoms while they do it. And they're going to try to crush your freedoms while they do it because we as a society, probably not you personally, but we as a society spent the last year telling them, just scare us enough and we'll give you all our liberty. I'm out on that. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. And I have known people, sadly, who have been evicted from their homes. It's not a pretty scene. Picture packing up the things you like in a suitcase from your home and walking out the door because they're taking the rest of it. It's like that. You know that's happening to people in the United States of America through no fault of their own? I'm not talking about people who just decided not to make the mortgage payment anymore. Home title theft can get you evicted from your home. Your home title's online. They will hack into it. They will forge your signature on it. They'll take a loan out against it, and you have to pay that loan back. Your home insurance will not. You will. You don't? Lawyer up, Jack. And if you don't do that, you're gone. Go get Home Title Lock so it doesn't happen to you. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code RADIO. That gets you 30 free days of protection. We'll be back. Joe Biden sat down for an interview with Univision, talk about stuff on the border, kids in cages and all that stuff. And, well, actually, I know you're going to find this shocking, but I guess I just misspoke there. Joe Biden and Jill Biden sat down for an interview with Univision. Here's some of it.
Your administration has plans to open tents at Del Rio, a town close to the border. Can you confirm that?
Right now, there's thousands of unaccompanied children coming across the border. In Texas, they opened up one that was a former one used in the administration, in the last administration. Our hope and expectation is that won't stay open very long, that we'll be able to provide for every kid who comes across the border safely to be housed in a facility that's licensed.
And this administration is doing it in a humane way. And that's really important. I mean, we want to make sure that these children are safe, that they get mental health services, they get physical health services, they get education.
Setting aside what they're talking about and all that idiocy, who invited Jill Biden? And why did they invite Jill Biden? Why is Jill Biden always in Joe Biden's back pocket? Jill Biden wasn't elected president of the United States of America. She wasn't elected anything. She's the first lady. I don't know if you noticed, but I don't have my wife with me today. When I'm making a point on something on TV, I don't have my wife jumping in. And this is what I actually think about something. Why? Because it would be completely inappropriate. My wife wasn't hired by the first to come do TV for you every single night. I was. Why is Jill Biden with Joe Biden 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not just sitting there? You know, she's not just wallpaper, jumping in, interrupting, answering the questions. Shut up. You go sit somewhere and shut up. You're not elected. I want to hear the president of the United States of America. Who thinks that this is appropriate? This wouldn't be appropriate. It's not bring your spouse to work day. It's not your wallet. It's your wife. You leave it at home when you go to work. I don't understand this at all. And I don't understand why more Americans don't have a big, big problem with this. This woman is not in charge of anything. And let's just be honest, as long as we're being offensive and making everybody mad, don't we all know why? If Joe Biden is incapable of doing this on his own, then why is Joe Biden the leader of the free world? If you say his wife is there because she has to help him out, well, if the president of the United States of America cannot do an interview with Univision without the aid of his wife, maybe he shouldn't be president. Why is this difficult for people to understand? How is anybody accepting of this? It's not bring your wife to work day. You're the president of the United States of America. Either you're able and willing to sit down and answer questions by yourself, go to events, give speeches by yourself, travel around the world, meet with world leaders by yourself, or you shouldn't be president of the United States of America. You're not physically and or mentally capable of doing the job. I am sick and tired of hearing Joe Biden's voice. Not because I have anything against Joe Biden. I don't know anything about Joe Biden. But because she's not the president of the United States of America. I want to hear the president of the United States of America talk. Not his wife talk. I want to hear the president of the United States of America have a stance on an issue. I want to hear him elaborate on issues. I want to see him answer questions on the fly. Not the, Bill, what? I love, Jill, could you help? And we have so much video out there of him walking the wrong way off the stage. And here comes Jill. Oh, this way, Joe. Let me take your arm. I'm supposed to accept this as normal? Why? Because it sounds nice? Well, I don't have that burden because I'm not nice. I'm not a moral person. I'm not a good person. But I am giving it to you straight. This is unacceptable. This is not Democrat, Republican, left or right, by the way. This is simply unacceptable for the leader of the free world to bring his wife along to answer questions for him everywhere. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. Get him out of there. And look, it's not exactly like I'm a Kamala Harris fan, but get Kamala Harris in there. If that's what it has to be, cite the 25th Amendment. No, I'm not happy we have Democrats in charge. Yeah, she absolutely sucks, but at least she's a functional adult. That is a really, really, really important job. The president of the United States of America is a really important job. If you can't do it without your wife holding your beaky for you, then go away and send her out of there too. All right. I'm a little fired up tonight. There's a lot of stuff in the news. I'm a little fired up tonight. Because you remember the last year watching Antifa tear through American cities. Organized violence. People dying, businesses burning. Windows shattered, lives destroyed, Antifa, multiple cities in the United States of America. You saw it all. Shoot, I brought it all to you. You saw it all. I know you saw it all because we have poll numbers out there that say 71% of you, 71% of you, this is according to a Harvard-Harris poll, think Antifa is a domestic terrorist group. Okay, well, they are. They are, and there's something else. We know, not we think, this isn't some crazy online conspiracy theory. We know from arrest records that they were at that ugly event on January 6th at the Capitol. This is not something on some wingnut blog somewhere. This is something we know. These are documented cases. Well, somebody should tell the director of the FBI.
Certainly, while we're equal opportunity and looking for violent extremism of any ideology, we have not to date seen any evidence of anarchist violent extremists or people subscribing to Antifa in connection with the 6th. That doesn't mean we're not looking, and we'll continue to look, but at the moment, we have not seen that.
I'm sorry? Does the director of the FBI not have a Twitter account? Hey, someone let the director know this is him. His name's John Sullivan. He's Antifa. Yeah, he looks sane. He was arrested January 6th at the Capitol. Gee, imagine that. And don't tell me, and you know what? Don't tell me, don't sit up there and tell me we're equal opportunity looking around. No, you're not. No, you're not. I've seen nothing but wanted posters for months now of the January 6 people who were there. Have you seen this girl? Do you have any information on this dangerous high school girl who was in the Capitol? Where are my public arrests of the Antifa organizers and funders? Where are my public arrests of the Black Lives Matter organizers and funders? Anybody? Anyone? Where are my wanted posters? Don't tell me equal opportunity. What's that old saying? Don't pee down my back and tell me it's rain. Don't tell me you're equal opportunity. We all know what the deal is here. I can't believe Trump hired that guy. Gosh, that's embarrassing. All right, we got a great show tonight. Hang on. Well, Joe Biden not exactly offering an inspirational message about coronavirus. I guess this will get us all fired up.
Listen, hang on.
I've been cautioned not to give an answer to that because we don't know for sure. But my hope is by this time next year, we're going to be back to normal. And before that, my hope. But again, it depends upon if people continue to be smart and understand that we still can have significant losses. There's a lot we have to do yet. So thank you.
Did you receive a briefing about the border today?
Yes, I did.
What did you learn?
A lot.
Is there a crisis on the border?
We're in so much trouble. Joining me now to talk about that and other things, the Vice President of National Initiatives for the Texas Public Policy Foundation, Chuck DeVore. Chuck, I don't know which part of that little blurb I enjoyed more. The fact that Joe said that if you and I are good little servants, we'll hopefully be given our lives back a year from now, or that he didn't learn anything about the border.
Yeah, take your pick. The border is rapidly deteriorating as we thought it would. The Texas Public Policy Foundation did a border crisis simulation last December, and we determined that the expectations of a less strict border policy, less strict border enforcement, would encourage a large number of new would-be migrants to head north, especially from the Northern Triangle countries. That's El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, and that they would flood into the U.S. And we're beginning to see that now, and it's turning into a humanitarian crisis.
It is, and what I don't understand is what the end game is for Democrats here. Is it just as simple as we want to flood the country with illegal immigrants and hand them citizenship so we never lose another election? I mean, that's so dark and evil that I even have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. But is it just that simple, Chuck?
Well, in our simulation, a lot of it just came down to politics and to a reaction that anything that President Trump did was just bad and therefore had to be reversed without a lot of thought given to the consequences, without a lot of thought given to the messaging and what happens when people who are willing to risk an enormous amount, both life and limb, and a lot of money to get into the United States because it's so much better here than in the places where they're coming from. We just think it was a lack of thinking through the consequences. In our simulation, what happened was that the events on the border began to unravel so rapidly, it got inside of the Biden administration's decision cycle loop, which is already slowed down by the fact of who the chief executive is, and they just didn't react with enough force or quickly enough. And as a result, in our simulation, the governor of Texas had to use some of the authority that he had to use his National Guard assets, his Texas Rangers, Department of Public Safety assets to secure the Texas border. And so things got pretty hairy pretty quickly in our simulation. I think we're perhaps about halfway there now.
Oh, geez. Chuck, with all due respect, I mean, this is something I don't think people realize. With all due respect to the National Guard and, of course, the Texas Rangers, they can't stop a flood like this either, and they certainly can't stop it without giving the authority to do horrible things that nobody wants to see. No one wants to see the Texas Rangers open fire on a bunch of illegal immigrants. That would be terrible for everyone. What are they supposed to do about a flood of people like this?
Right. So if you look at some court rulings in recent years, and you look at a state and its ability to protect itself when the federal government does not do so or fails to do so, there's a fair amount of leeway, especially with a significant amount of the federal court system now populated by appointees of former President Donald Trump. And so in our simulation, we had legal experts who had clerked for federal courts and knew quite a bit about the way they think and precedent, who indicated that it would be perfectly within the authority of Governor Greg Abbott to secure individuals illegally coming across the border and to return them across the border on their own accord. And in our simulation, what ended up happening is because Texas was unwelcoming and California was welcoming, the migrant flows simply shifted to the west by about 1,300 miles decided to enter the border at California, where they were more than welcomed by California Governor Gavin Newsom.
Well, I have to ask this fancy simulation, because you guys are always so cutting edge with all this stuff. How does it end? Do I want to know, Chuck? Do I want to know how it ends?
It ended with the crush of humanity coming across the border in California. And of course, once they're released into the interior, they're free to go anywhere they want in the country. So we only took it that far. We wanted to test and see what we could understand about the ability of a state governor to act when the federal government fails to do its job to secure the border. And so in our simulation, we did in fact determine that Governor Abbott has a tremendous amount of power to secure the border with Mexico in Texas. So we'll see. I think, again, we're probably a couple of months away from that making news. We're not yet in the prime crossing time. It's still winter, but we expect to see numbers increase all the way through May and June. And at that point, I think it'll be very difficult for the president to deny that there is a crisis on the border.
Chuck, I know you're going to find this shocking, but I'm not a highly educated man. However, my limited education does tell me Texas doesn't border California. Why are none of these people flowing into New Mexico and Arizona?
Yeah, so a lot of it has to do with the nature of the border regions in those states. So in the case of New Mexico, there's not a lot of common border, and it's very rugged and unpopulated. The infrastructure is very difficult. It's a difficult crossing to make. Plus, the areas that you're crossing into are largely unpopulated, and it's relatively easy for the Border Patrol to identify individuals moving into those areas. Similarly, in Arizona, much of the Arizona-Mexico border is, again, not particularly well populated, desert, mountains. And so as a result, it's a little easier to, again, to defend. In California, you have just a very heavily populated area across from San Diego, Tijuana. I'm sure that you have never been there and have never done things there that we can't talk about on the air. And the challenge with that then is that if that area, if that part of the sector gets overwhelmed, and the governor has no interest in lending a hand to federal law enforcement, then things can go south very quickly. They can deteriorate very rapidly. And so that's what we anticipated. There's also a fair amount of ability to cross the border by Calexico and Mexicali. That's where that very tragic accident happened just a day or two ago, where some, about a dozen people lost their lives in a vehicle that was carrying some 25 people or so. People alleged to be or thought to be illegal immigrants would be immigrants coming across and were hit by a big tractor-trailer truck and killed about half of them on the vehicle. Very tragic.
Oh, just picture that scene. I believe the number was actually 27 in one SUV, which is a modern marvel anyway, but when you picture none of those people had seatbelts, I mean, the absolute disaster that must have been. Oh, gosh, it's terrible. Chuck DeVore, thank you, my friend. And no, I've absolutely never had a sidewalk hot dog wrapped in bacon at 2 a.m. in Tijuana, nor would I do such a thing. Appreciate you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Tijuana. All right. We have a lot more show. Hang on. Censorship sucks. And when you look at the history of mankind, there's never been somebody censoring who was the good guy in that situation. And we didn't really talk very much about the Dr. Seuss stuff. We brought it up briefly. Biden administration, there are six apparently racist Dr. Seuss books. And of course, they come out, and Dr. Seuss books hold 42 of the top 50 on the Amazon sales ranking chart. Censorship, it's evil, and censorship never works. And yet, time after time after time, people try it. Joining me now to talk about that and other things, host of the Pensive Politics podcast, Christian Watson. Why do authoritarians always try to censor, Christian?
Well, because they're afraid of losing control, really. And this is the entire thing with Dr. Seuss. What does Dr. Seuss teach us? Dr. Seuss teaches kids how to, in one of his books, he teaches kids how to not see color, how to not see superficial characteristics, and to just be kids and to just enjoy life. Authoritarians, however, see everything through their political lens. They want to taint and maim everything in accordance. That's why they do this kind of nonsense.
I'm absurdly pro-free speech. And when I say absurdly pro-free speech, I want everybody to have a platform because I want to know what everybody's thinking. I want ISIS to have a platform. I want the KKK to have a platform. I want Louis Farrakhan to have a platform. I want to know what my enemy is thinking so I'm not driving them underground and hardening their resolve. Plus, my ideas are better. Why doesn't everybody think like that?
Well, because, again, some people... Well, it's a few things. Some people believe, and if you have... this sort of theory mindset that has been rampant in American society, some people generally believe that certain ideas can wound and hurt, and that violence can also be something that is exercised through speech as well as through physical force. And so they conflate all of these things, and they take them to be actions against their life. I mean, critical race theory teaches Black folks that if someone does a microaggression, they're acting against their physical being as well as their mental safety. So when you view speech that way, it's very, very easy to delegitimize the free sort of exercise of ideas. And it's unfortunate.
Christian, this seems like it's getting worse. It seems like, honestly, and I'm not the guy who's criticizing the next generation, because I just believe people in general are the same, but this next generation coming up, I'm talking about the college kids, they seem more vicious than anything I've seen in quite a while.
Well, so I think, okay, so hindsight is 2020, right? That's the old adage. I think that back 50, 60, 70 years ago, during the McCarthy era where people were being attacked for having different beliefs, and, you know, even in the 90s and so on where people were being arrested for having obscene words and rap songs, I think we've seen certain iterations of cancel culture. You're just seeing the greatest hit so far, the newest hit, so to speak, of cancel culture. It's always been around since, I think, the dawn of civilization. But I think that it is a little bit more enhanced and a little bit more pernicious because it's not coming from people who seem to be closed-minded or who seem to be provincial. It's coming from folks who are supposedly educated. And there is nothing more dangerous than I heard a famous person say this, an educated fool. Nothing.
Isn't that the problem, though, Christian, is the education? The education we're getting now is not the same as it's always been. And frankly, it is very anti-American. We saw that this summer when it was Antifa and Black Lives Matter burning down cities with the consent of much of America. Much of America was sitting back and cheering. Half the country was.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, with things like the 1619 Project and other sort of initiatives that have tried to paint a very boogeyman idea of America, education certainly has gone down the pipes. But I still do believe that there is intention of Americans, most Americans actually, that believe America has a profoundly good moral character, that our values are values that are endemic to the human experience, and that these things need to be taught freely, which is why you're seeing such a pushback against these kind of ideas. But I agree with you. If you taint minds, especially if you taint them young, they will grow up to believe and do vicious things, and that's our primary problem in our society today.
Christian, how do we get it back? Is the solution what I've said to get people out of the education system? Is it homeschooling kids or find yourself a private school that believes what you believe? Should we just invade all the school boards and take them over? How do we get it back?
You get it back by, well, you have to... It's a problem of values, right? There's no easy solution. I wish I could say, oh, you just pass this legislation and it goes away. It doesn't. It is a fundamental problem of values. You get it back by reminding kids, especially in the home, that's where it all starts, in the home, that, hey, no, regardless of what social status you have, regardless of what your physical complexion is, you are an individual first and foremost, and you should always act as as if that is true, because it is true. That's where it starts. If people believe that, they will have a zealous reaction against this kind of cancel culture, against this kind of identity politics, against this kind of collectivistic mentality that is tainting American society right now. But it starts in the home, and it starts by instilling that value that we are all individuals first, and everything else comes second, third, and fourth.
I believe that it's not a governor's right, not a mayor's right, not any American politician's right to tell me that I have to wear a mask, to tell me that I have to close my business, that I'm allowed to open my business. And I saw a whole bunch of people yesterday praising Governor Greg Abbott of Texas for allowing everybody to open again. Why? He should have never closed it to begin with. Are we that whipped down we don't understand freedom anymore?
Precisely. I mean, and the fact that you have to laud a public official for letting you be who you are, letting you conduct your own business, is a disgrace in a country that was founded on the rejection, the profound rejection of that kind of pretension. The American colonists went against the king's pretension in trying to quarter soldiers in their house and trying to make them do things. No, no, no. We have it backwards. And this is what I meant by a poverty of values. If more people in America, including some conservatives who are praising Governor Abbott, said, hey, we are individuals and individuals have rights, and those rights and freedoms are paramount and need to be the primary thing considered in government actions. If we wouldn't be praising Governor Abbott, we'd be looking at him saying, dude, why did you do it in the first place? Why did you violate those sacred principles in the first place? We are forgetting our history. And this is why the 1619 Project is so dangerous, because it is tainting our history and reforming how we view things in this sort of lens of power. It's all about power for these people. And that's what's really concerning to me.
The 1619 Project, but that's just in the New York Times, right? It's not spreading anywhere else, surely.
Well, I wish that was the case. See, unfortunately, the 1619 Project is very influential across multiple school districts. And this is why you're seeing many companies say, hey, we will not sell Dr. Seuss books. Hey, we will not teach this kind of thing, because of the influence of the 1619 Project. And I think that people saying, oh, these are just far-off things and institutions of higher whatever, that's a cop-out, man. Now, these institutions are very dangerous in the sense that they have a lot of influence, and they are wielding that influence like a great sword to cut down the legacy of the American tradition. So, no, it's very real and is very omnipresent.
Christian Watson, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you. Look, you need to look into your kid's school. You need to have a talk with the pastor of your church. These are uncomfortable conversations. Send an email, whatever the case may be. You as a parent, if you care about your kids, if you care about yourself, you will have that conversation. I need to know your take on critical race theory. Anything other than absolutely not. Or, hey, let's meet for a cup of coffee if he doesn't want to email, and then he says absolutely not. Anything other than that, you need to turn around and run for the hills. And remember what I've taught you. This is all communism. It's just a different label on it. Critical race theory, whatever you want to call it. It's all just cultural Marxism. It's all a promise that you have been wronged. And if you give me power, I will hurt him for wronging you. That's all communism is. All right, we'll be back. There's nothing quite like being a father. And you have these moments as a father, especially as a father of boys. I don't have girls. I got two boys, not to brag or anything like that. But there's something about being a father where you have these moments where your son does something you know you're supposed to yell at him about, but it's kind of cool, and or you know it was something meant to impress you and you can't quite bust him for it. This little doorbell camera video is about as good as it gets.
A good time?
Yes. I got you something.
What do you mean you got me something?
I did. Hold on. Bourbon.
You took bourbon from them?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I know you like bourbon.
Dosh, you can't just pick. I mean, I do like it, but you can't just pick it from them.
But do you like it?
The best is out. He doesn't even hear that you can't take it from him. But do you like it? Oh, boys are the best. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com, Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.